Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, February 6th. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Sam. What's up?
We're back after a few days of being gone. I've been, of course, mourning my mom's passing.
Yes.
And you came to visit, which was really nice.
I did. Your family's really nice.
Thank you. Thank you. You came at a quiet time, though. I mean, the evenings turn out to be like real parties.
Real party? I know. It can be like that sometimes. Family, drinks,
food. We're supposed to be mourning, and then, you know, we've got all this food and everything.
I think it's sometimes better that way.
It is. You know, I mean, it keeps you together with the family stuff.
Yeah, more moments.
You want to sit there alone and grieve and stuff. It's just not... Not fun, you know?
I'm glad you got some family time in.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So, as you can see, I'm growing my beard now.
Yeah.
And I can't shave for 30 days. So, by the time it's over, I'm going to be like somebody you can't even recognize.
Yeah, it's going to be like Castaway in
here. I can't even cut my hair. So, I look like, I don't know, like Tarzan or something.
Maybe we'll see. Be a new look for you. It's already a new look. I've never seen you even with this much facial hair.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. My mouse just stopped working. How is that?
That's real cool.
While we're talking, I'm going to go and replace the battery. I can't believe this. I can't do anything with the mouse. But, there you go. You know, the
technology.
Yeah, live shows, you know. Yeah. There you go.
For sure.
So, how have you been?
Good.
Yeah.
Last night I went to an art gallery at the LA Convention Center, which was pretty cool. Tons of artists. We had, oh my gosh, I'm the worst. You know I'm the worst with remembering names. I'm always like, well, what was it? What was it again? we saw this pretty well-known, like, she makes beautiful dresses, really, really great dresses, like hand-stitched everything.
So it's an art show for dresses?
No, it's just an art show in general. She just was showing her dresses.
I see.
Which is pretty cool. So, yeah, right. I went with my boss and her best friend. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. It's different, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go to an art show.
Yeah, I like an art show.
Yeah.
There's always the weirdest person in the room always finds me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Every time I'm like... You know, you like scan and there's always like, it's always an eccentric bunch. Uh-huh. But I always see like that one sketchy person in the corner and I'm like, oh no, I've been spotted.
Yeah.
And then they always like kind of linger over and they're like, so.
Yeah. So
what are you drinking?
You.
I'm like, water. Only water.
Yeah. Get away from me.
Yeah. And then you go across like entirely across the way.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly you see them like around the corner, just like peeking out from behind something. I'm like. Yeah. Okay, it's time to go now.
Oh, wow.
Let's go.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. If you want to join us on Facebook, we're on Facebook and the LA Talk Radio page on Facebook. That's exactly where we are.
Yes.
You can check us there. We have a couple of guests in the studio, and we'll get to them in just a moment. What did I want to say? Well, I have a lot. To say.
Yeah, say it.
No, I don't have time for this. We have guests here and stuff.
Oh, man.
But a lot is happening in the world, the coronavirus and everything in China. Now, my brother came from China.
Right.
They can't go back now.
Still.
Yeah, they can't go back because nobody's flying there and they won't let people in. So there you go.
Oh,
well, actually, they won't let people out, I think. But they let people in, but then, you know.
So how if they let him in, then why can't he go back?
Because there's no airlines going there. Nobody's flying.
No one wants to take the chance.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So
they've canceled like 5,000 flights or something.
So does your brother's kid now just like have to start school here?
I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah,
they don't
they
even know,
do?
You know. I told him, I said, you know, you got nothing to go back to. It's not like they have assets or anything, you know.
Yeah.
So just leave everything there and start over. Just decide where the hell you're going to live, you know.
They were
planning on moving to Spain because that's where his wife is from, but. I don't know where they're going to go now. Right now,
well,
can you imagine being homeless?
What a weird period of life.
I know, man.
Oh,
it's crazy. So
I guess something needed. I feel like sometimes the universe puts you in places that you need to be in. And
right.
even if the craziest situation has to come about,
yeah.
like leaving Gina to go to your mom's funeral to find out that you can't go back because of some
right.
virus that they
yeah.
don't even know what
I
it's
know.
Doing.
But at least they Wild. Were able to get out and to come in the country, because 2 days later,
yeah,
now you can't come in from China, you know.
Yeah,
they put you in quarantine if you're an American citizen for 14 days.
Oh, you told me about that. Didn't
yeah.
you say some people were already quarantined?
Yeah, yeah.
They're probably still quarantined.
Probably.
That was just last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, can
wow,
you imagine
I know.
Being in quarantine?
Yeah. Screw this. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in the United States, you know. It's safest here.
yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our guest right now, so we'll get you started talking, and then I'll get another battery for the mouse because I can't navigate on my computer here.
Okay.
And we need some notes. So, first of all, we're joined by a couple of filmmakers, actress Katie Wallen. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Thank you.
Of course. And your husband, Harley, who's been here before.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks
yeah.
for having us.
Of course. Thank you for coming.
Sorry to hear about your mom, too.
Thank you. Thank you. It is hard,
doesn't
you know.
Doesn't matter the age or anything.
No.
It's like that's,
yeah.
that's your life source.
Yeah. And
sure.
It's tough, you know, but she's been sick for a long time and
yeah.
stuff. So when it doesn't come as a surprise, it's
yeah.
not as hard, you
yeah.
know, as when they just go, you know,
yeah.
like a Kobe Bryant type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a shock,
freak.
You know.
Yeah, it's a freak
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
complete
so
shock.
You don't prepare, and he was too young for that. You
yeah,
know, either. So, so you guys were here last time about a movie. Today you're here for another movie.
Yeah.
What was the last one? Remind us.
Eternal Code.
Eternal Code.
Yeah, we had a limited theatrical and a full VOD on that film. It's done really, really well.
Right.
It's still kind of like running hot.
Really?
Numbers are still high, and it's been almost 6 months now.
Wow.
Wow,
we're
nice.
Really excited.
That's
about
awesome.
That.
And was that like a scary film, if I remember correctly?
It's
science
like
fiction.
A thriller, sci-fi action thriller probably would be a
right.
term.
And Katie, you starred in the movie
yes.
and Harley directed it, right?
Yeah.
Or produced
direct
it?
And act, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
and
you
a little bit of everything.
In,
the indie community, I mean, you got to be ready to wear a lot of hats.
Oh,
right.
yes.
That's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm. I was saying that last week. You know, people are always telling me you got to pick one thing and focus on it. And I'm like, no way. Like,
right.
you have to, if you're an actor, you have to know how to, you know, do some producing, something
yeah.
else on set. You know, I started as a PA.
Yeah.
I started as an actor, wanted to get on film set,
yep.
started as a PA, got into set design, got into writing,
yep.
got into directing, producing. Like, you just, you have
yeah.
to be prepared, you know, and we have the platform now to do it. So,
yeah,
yeah that's
right.
for sure.
You got to
yeah.
be on
it's
it.
It's a different world for sure. And then the funny thing is, first you spread yourself out. And then as the money starts coming in and the budgets start getting bigger, now you shrink again and
yeah.
you get back into your own lane that you're really strong in. It's a very interesting thing to do because you get so wide and so spread at first, and now it's like the refocus on
yeah, you like
to very
in.
Specific things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right. I'm going to go get a mouse, but you guys continue talking.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
I did want to ask you, Katie,
yeah.
tell us about the role you played in the first movie. And because I remember a little bit, but tell Jen.
In Eternal Code?
Yeah,
in Eternal Code.
Code.
Yeah,
oh,
talk
right.
to me. Talk
no,
to me.
Right
okay, so in Eternal Code, I actually played a streetwalker. So I was a prostitute in that
Amazing.
One.
Amazing.
yeah, right? It was very different. And I mean, not just for her and what she did, but just her personality and
yeah.
how she is in the film. And she is the protagonist. Like sub story, so she is like connected to the protagonist. And what's nice is that because like I just said, she's a prostitute, so people are like, ooh, you know.
Yeah.
But when you get to know her, you really see that she has a good heart and she's really trying to help people. And I mean, she doesn't
yeah.
really know what direction she's going in yet, but she's trying to figure it out, you know.
That's a story for so many people.
Yeah.
Just judging right off
yeah.
the bat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote it, that was one of the things that I really wanted to aim at. I wanted to pick a couple of unlikely heroes that we tend to walk past. So
I love an unlikely hero.
So mm-hmm. the prostitute and the suicidal veteran teaming up to save the day, sure. I thought was powerful. So that was kind of where I wanted the story to come from, because it's so easy for us to look down on people because they are not as fortunate maybe. And yeah. I want to show that there's still greatness everywhere. You just have to find it and you just have to inspire it.
Plus, I'm a true believer that we're all kind of a crisis away from being in anyone else's shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And,
so
you know,
true.
And we judge people so harshly and we don't even consider, like, all right, if I was there in those circumstances and mm-hmm. I had to make a decision, depending on your circumstances, whatever's right and wrong, I mean, you mm-hmm. can't. You just can't judge it so harshly because you really don't know.
You don't know until you're facing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. For sure.
So. Yeah. We're not invincible, you know, and we can't sit there and say, oh, yeah, that person's so bad. We still have three dirty fingers pointing back at us.
Totally. Totally. And I think we judge a lot of other people because we're really judging ourselves as
yeah.
much, too. You know, whether it's from, you know, a sex worker or someone who has a ton of money, you know, mm-hmm. like I've had, you know, you hear people talk about, oh, my God, like Kylie Jenner's only, what, 20 years old. Mm-hmm. She's making all this money and I'm, you know, 25 or 30 or 40 and I'm in this position. But. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you can't judge somebody because you can't judge yourself against anyone else because
no.
we're all coming from completely different places,
individual
you know.
Journeys.
Right, and we're going to different places, different
exactly.
journeys, exactly.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
And you don't know what they're going through or anything,
yeah.
you know, you don't know their
yeah.
background
mm-hmm.
and all that. Katie, where are you from originally, from L.A.?
No, I'm actually from Washington Township, Michigan. So I'm
oh,
about
wow.
like a good 45 minutes to an hour north of Detroit.
Okay.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
yeah. What was that like? Is that like a small town? Or?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, we're around a small town. The town that Washington Township is just next to is called Romeo. And it was
yeah.
like a town that was built in the 1800s. So it's like old Victorian. But like now, I mean, it's modernized.
Pretty.
It's so pretty.
Pretty.
It's such a beautiful place. We've actually yeah. shot some of our stuff there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
There. Yeah, because it's, I mean, it just has its own little look. It's very unique. But it's, what's nice about it is it's kind of like still outside of everything, but it's mm-hmm. still close enough to,
right.
if you want to go to the city, just go out and hop on
yeah.
one of the expressways and you're down there in less
half
than an hour.
Yeah.
You know?
See, that's what I need. Enough of the big city. And Harley, where are you originally from?
I am Swedish, from the southern tip of Sweden.
Oh, wow.
So from Malmo, across the bridge now from Copenhagen.
Okay.
One of my favorite hangouts. If you ever get a chance, Copenhagen is awesome.
I know. I've been there twice, actually, but I was very young, so I didn't get to enjoy all of it.
Yeah.
But it's a nice place.
It is.
Really nice.
I hear
pretty
it's really
friendly
great.
People.
Remember,
like
we
the
had
party.
The director from Denmark some
yeah,
time
ago.
Yeah,
they have a great vegan food scene there now.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah,
is pretty incredible.
Yeah, she
I
would know.
Food in general,
I'm a chef,
I think.
Yeah.
yeah. That's awesome.
For sure.
Wow.
Their
so,
food is amazing. They have some really good food over there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were rated top one of the top places to mm-hmm. visit in the world for foodies.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah definitely. Yeah. And Malmo, which is funny because before the bridge, it was, you know, 250,000 and slowly growing. And
right.
then they put the bridge in and it's just exploded. And it's become, you know, almost a bigger metropolis than Stockholm. And,
really?
And that's kind of wild because of how it's growing so fast.
Right.
It is just connecting to the surrounding cities in this growth.
Right.
And how old were you when you came over here?
Oh, 24. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'd done a syndicated TV show, and I knew I wanted to be an actor, and I wanted to take myself to the biggest audience possible, so I moved
right.
to Detroit. Doesn't
and
that
how
make
did
sense?
You, how did you two meet?
We just said that last night. We just told that story last night.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting, because if you looked at us, and I said one of us was a bartender, and the other one worked a modeling event, you'd pick the wrong people.
Right.
I was the one walking for, it was like a... what is it called? Charity show?
Yeah, it was a charity modeling show with the local scene.
Yeah, media.
So it was a really cool,
jazz.
It was a fun mm-hmm. little gig. But yeah, I was running the bar for the VIP for these people over here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I just got caught up talking with her. And,
yeah.
And just kind of, because we only had to walk, I think, two changes. And the rest of the night, we're just hanging out. So we just connected and talked
Very
all night.
Cool. So what event did you go to? What was... That kind of an event?
What was it called?
I believe it was called Walk the Runway.
Rock the Runway.
Rock the Runway.
Rock the Runway.
Rock the Runway.
Was
right.
it called, yeah.
So what were you doing there? Were you a model there?
Yeah, I modeled.
Oh,
walked,
I see. Okay.
For a clothing line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a Detroit.
It was a Detroit-based clothing line.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many years ago did you guys meet?
It's been 8 years.
Yeah,
it's over, you guys actually have, over eight.
You guys have kids though, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many do you have?
Two.
Really?
Yeah. Five mm-hmm. and 6 years old.
Yeah. Wow, aww. That's very mm-hmm. cute.
They are a handful.
Yes, they are.
And sure.
Two little princesses, as pretty as her, and with a lot of like that go-go attitude.
They are feisty. Like,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How do you kind of balance kids with a career in entertainment?
I try not making it too big of a deal. Mm-hmm. They've Hannah, our older daughter. She was in Bennett's Song. She was. Played actually Tara Reid's daughter, mm-hmm. which was kind of fun. And the TV series we start shooting next week.
I know.
they're both in. They're actually playing flashback of her and her sister in the TV series.
Oh, so, I love that. Yeah.
It's actually really fun, too, because they have...
they see us so they really like it.
And they ask all these questions, and they've actually sat behind the scenes and watched how we do things, too, which is pretty cool. And
really
sit there
great.
All quiet and watching. And I mean, I was telling him, I was like, I really love that they're getting this experience because at such a young age, like, people don't really see, like, mm-hmm. when they see a movie, they watch it on the big screen, they don't think about what's happening on the other side, right?
No, there's so much more happening
exactly.
on the
well,
other
now,
side.
We watch these documentaries on TV, and we're watching how, like, they made Home Alone, and these girls are fascinated by this. Like, oh my gosh, this house was in a pool to make it, you know. it's like, yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
So many tricks.
Yeah.
So many tricks in film.
Yeah. Katie, how did you get into film? Were you, like, doing modeling before that?
Yeah, actually, that's really funny. So I did really start off as a model. My mom signed us up for some, I want to say it was like a JCPenney's or Sears type of wedding thing. My little sisters and I dressed up in little flower girl dresses and walked a runway. Uh-huh. That was a lot of fun. I was like 9. But my older sister, she was pursuing the film industry, and she actually moved out here and has been living here for quite a while, but... When she was in school, she would fly out to Detroit and make her shorts, mm-hmm. like her short little thing for student films. And I was her pal. You know,
yeah,
I was
her muse.
I was her muse. Yeah, I helped her with the casting. I was the one that sat at the desk and had everybody sign in. You know, at the time I was only like 12 or 13, but I got to watch the process from that side.
Yeah,
and it was really cool because
Kelly now I think has 3 Emmys.
I think it's. That's a, Five.
Okay.
She's five.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's awesome. I love her. She's a great creative personality.
Yeah.
I actually get to hang out with her tonight, so I'm really excited about that.
So you sort of got the bug and everything,
mm-hmm.
and you moved to LA.
Mm-mm.
No,
I'm still out in Detroit.
Really?
We're still in Michigan.
So you're just visiting now.
Yeah, we're here for the premiere and everything of Agro Monster. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's
so
cool.
Fun.
I didn't realize that. I thought you guys lived here.
Yeah, no, it's funny. So we first came out here.
I feel like we're
premiere.
Here enough now that
it's been
like a second home.
Yeah,
I really anticipate that. Yeah,
I can imagine all the work is here, right? Or do you
do everything. We film everything in Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, everything is in Michigan. But when we come out here, it's
for the premieres and the meetings
mm-hmm.
and all
that jazz. Right. Mm. So it's projects that you come up with and create,
mm-hmm.
so you can do it wherever you want.
Yeah.
Really,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be.
And now with the casting, the way it works with video and taped, you don't have to be anywhere. Really,
right.
Until you get a call back, then usually they'll make you hop on a plane somewhere. But
yeah.
It's a lot easier
Atlanta
now.
Still hopping. Right now, Tennessee has been going crazy as well. They're doing a ton of TV shows. I believe it's called Jupiter Entertainment. I've worked with them on, Homicide Hunters. But they do really, really good work. And it's kind of wild what they're doing. They're buying up these old strip malls that are now going out of business, and they're making them into mini studios. It's
mm-hmm.
really, really cool.
Wow.
So for a TV
that
series
really cool.
that's going to go for 10 seasons, you know, you make a hospital space, you make a police detective place, and you walk in and it's all pre-lit and ready to go and everything moves at an amazing pace. It's unbelievable.
It's nice to have that kind of setup. It really saves time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just walked in and it's like pre-lit.
Really?
And I'm like, wow. Okay,
yeah.
This is amazing.
Just minor tweaks from there. Because
yeah.
that's That's like the whole set day. Like the amount of time that you're actually filming is so insignificant in comparison to the time of setup.
It's like
so
a football game. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of people running into each other for 5 seconds and then, you know, they reset and take forever. Mm-hmm. But a football game, if you think about it, it's those 5 second collisions. That's all it is. It's a 5 second collision.
Yeah. Very cool. So you guys created a new movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's it called?
Agramon's Gate.
Agramon's Gate. So this sounds kind of like, is that a horror film or is this also?
It's a horror film, but more in the direction of a Hitchcock type of horror movie.
Like psychological.
Yeah, I wanted all the elements. First of all, I wanted good acting and good storytelling because I think so often in horror films, they just skip to the gore and the kills. And I remember reading, you know, quotes from Hitchcock talking about that the kill is not the payoff, it's the end. So the building and the anticipation and the suspense, mm-hmm. that's really where you have the audience, that where they can't stop watching. So I tried to storytell in that aspect and give a horror film that has jump moments where you chuckle a couple of times.
Right.
And you have the whole going through it. You know, so that was the plan for this. And I've had the opportunity to sneak into a couple of screenings at film festivals and been a fly on the wall and seeing, and I don't announce myself when I'm at one of these things. I just go in, sit down and watch. And we've had really good success as far as the audience responding how we hoped.
Right. Mm-hmm. And who wrote the screenplay on this movie? Did you?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it always circles around you, though, I'm sure.
Well, right? It's funny.
She is one of the main characters for sure.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like him and his process, I'm there and I help. And he does bounce off his ideas. And like I do work as a soundboard with that. And he asked questions and asked me to read things and see, like, how does this feel? Mm-hmm. What do you think about this character? And do you think I'd need to do this? So it's really cool to be a part of that process because, I mean, a lot of people don't even think about what it takes to make a screenplay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's so much involved, you know?
Really?
And especially, like, I mean, sometimes it takes you a lot of time, but when you're on a time crunch, you don't need that pressure of, oh, guys, I just got to finish this. No, you got to get through it. Just follow what you're feeling and where you want these characters to go, because that pressure can make the story just break apart, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I think what I've found is when I write with too much of this person is going to play that role and that has to be enough scenes for this, and I end up with a script that I throw away and it's frustrating. When I write it with, I know a fundamental beginning, middle, and end, I understand that aspect, then usually the story comes out really good. And it's a lot easier for me to tweak it afterwards than it is to try to fit something in my head before I start writing.
Right.
So I usually have very vague and soft guidelines before I write, so that way I have a guide rail.
Yeah, then you can go in and place the structure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And half of the time, the first draft for me is usually like 60 to 75 pages, which is very short. Mm. And then the final ends up between 90 and 100.
Sure.
Once
you go in and elaborate.
Now, how did you get the idea for the film?
You know what? I think it's one of them things that I've always enjoyed. I enjoyed the demonic stories, and I love playing with moral dilemmas of, it's not that big of a deal, because I think we do that in life all the time. And this gradual give that we always do, who knows how good or how bad it is, but I do think that you say, it's not that big of a deal to do that. And then you move that boundary just an inch, and then you say, it's no big deal to do that. And
so
then
you
move
it
another inch.
Yeah, you keep moving it.
And this thing, I think, is just interesting when you're looking at the world. Things that you would never, ever, ever do. Like, I remember growing up, and you would never even think about going out in pajama pants or sweatpants. You just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, now everybody's doing it, and it's the new reality because we just keep moving bars. And most of the time, it's probably progressive and not a bad idea. Some of the times, though, I'm wondering if just because we can doesn't mean we should.
Right.
So I love playing with those things because I think at the end of the day, a movie should make you think a little bit. entertain you while you're watching it, but afterwards maybe make you go, huh.
I think a lot of the times, though, with that issue is we just compare ourselves to the worst thing. So we're like, well, at least we're not as bad as them.
Oh, yeah. You watch Jerry Springer and like, you're like, wow, those people are crazy.
Those people are crazy. I'm not so bad. I mean, my boundaries are better than that. But then it's like, oh, well, you just moved your boundary just a little bit more.
Yeah. Totally. And they're always adjusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
So, Katie, tell us a little bit about the story of the film. What's it about?
Okay, so this this couple, this girl, she decides that she's going to have a psychic reader come to their housewarming party. And she's all about it. Like, she's really open to this, but her husband is pretty closed off. And you little do you find out that, you know, he's had some things happen in his past that he's kind of, like, built walls and barriers up to. But when the psychic reader comes in, they do the seance. And at the seance, a demon comes through.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it comes through as his father. So you find out that some crazy things happened in his past, and he has to kind of overcome it. But this demon feeds off fear. So, like, the little things that it starts off doing, like, whether it's just, you know, moving a rocking chair, right? Mm-hmm. Or it
making
scares you, right? Making sounds. They start scaring you while he's feeding and building off this fear. So things just start getting worse, you know, until he, like, manifests into this thing. So it's really cool. It's a fun experience.
Have either of you had any supernatural experiences before?
Yes.
Amazing. I love this question.
I've had quite a few. It's one of them things that if you don't really believe in spirits and dimensions and realms and all these things that I think that you've been walking around with blinders on, mm-hmm. because there's so many things that you just can't explain. And instead of saying, well, I can't explain it, so therefore there's nothing, that makes no sense. But if you say, I can't explain it, so I'm open to that there's something.
Yeah.
And not have to define it so much. But, I mean, I believe that we're spiritual being having a human experience, so that there's something of us that lives on. And I would assume that that's how we're surrounded by a lot mm-hmm. more of that. That makes the most sense to me. But, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Had some interesting experience.
Great. Did those inspire this?
No, not really. I just, it's one of the genres that I love. When you go back to the, you know, whether it's The Exorcist or Poltergeist or all these type of things, those traditional old, you know, scary movies that have the whole story and all that. That's kind of what I wanted to do that I wrote it with that in mind, and the story became fuller in the rewrites, and I gave it more structure. But it was really not like one, and it's really funny because usually I do have I can trace it back and find a point and say, mm-hmm. This betrayed was a church message about human trafficking, and I said, wow, I felt so ignorant, I didn't know how big of a problem it was, so I had to do something. Don't know really how to make a good documentary, so I'm like, let's scare the crap out of people.
Right. Yeah,
so make a real movie, put it in your backyard, and make you go, whoa.
Yeah.
With Eternal Code, I think that we're dancing so close right now on living forever, and these things that can keep us alive. You know, you look at Rockefeller and his sixth heart or whatever. Yeah, these type of things, they're intriguing to think about the moral dilemma of, you know, if you could kill to live forever, would you? Those places are really interesting. But for this one, I don't have a singular point. I think it's just the inspiration of the horror movies I grew up on.
Sure.
Kind of played a factor in this.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it just came out of my crazy head.
Yes.
I love it.
So you're obviously doing features now. Did you ever do short films beforehand?
We started off doing short films.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a very good way to make sure that you don't blow your investors' budget on something that you're never going to see back. I think short films, you know, you often either have somebody who has a little bit of money who says, yeah, you know, I'd love for you to express this and it's art, or it's you take your own money and you make essentially a business card where you say, I can do this and put it out in front of people.
Well, what's nice, though, is I really do think that shorts are a good place to start because
you
really have an idea on what it actually takes to make a film.
Right. Yeah.
Before you commit to a feature.
Before you commit, yeah, because it really...
A lot of people fall apart mm-hmm. making a feature.
And especially if you have no idea what you're dealing with. If you've never been on a set or have had the experience to see firsthand, and just the whole process and what it takes, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a marathon to make a feature, and you gotta do it right. You know, you have 15 to 20 shooting days on a feature for us, and it takes up, you know, a month when you're factoring the days out and and everything else. So it's pretty intense.
Right.
I mean, even to make something as small as a music video is insane.
That's a lot of work.
Insane, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of work, you know, but did you have a big cast in this one, in this film?
I think this one was...
This one was not overly heavy. I mean, it is a big cast as far as how many people would be between main and supporting. Mm-hmm. It's we probably have, you know... over 10 people that are in five scenes or more. Uh-huh. But then after that, there's a huge drop, and most everybody else is like a day player type of thing.
Right.
So there's 10, 12 people that have, you know, a lot of scenes, and then it's a huge drop, and most of the rest are day players.
I see. Wow, very interesting.
Yeah,
huh?
I know.
You would love to be part of something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for any film. Well, not any film. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, that's that guy from the art show.
Got to be careful with
that. He has a suggestion for a movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got offered a gig on a PA once, and I showed up, and it ended up being an adult film. And I was like...
That's not what I signed up for.
Yeah, I was like, all right, though. Like,
I really think, too, you got to look into who... these people are. Mm-hmm. When you have people reach out to you and say, hey, I have an opportunity, look at their IMDb, check out what they've done, see where it's gone.
Google them.
Find out how the quality is. If you can't find these films, say they have like 10 films on their IMDb and you can't find one of them, that is kind of a bad sign. Like, did this film get completed? What's going to happen, you know?
Right.
There's a guy that's circling, and he's an LA-based guy that kind of has these big claims, and he's at festivals speaking and stuff because he has a ton of credits and he talks a big game, and somehow he's gotten away with it for like 2 years.
And
when he was going to finance one of my friend's movies, and I, first of all, you type their name in and you type the word scam after, you will find all kinds of fun
definitely
stuff.
Scam after. I've done that one for sure.
And you'll find crazy things. But this guy is, I mean, he's speaking at festivals and stuff because people don't do their due diligence.
Sounds like
they see all these big credits that seemingly look big.
Right.
And when you Google
they're
to
impressed.
Try to find those things, they're non-existent.
People are so good at that here.
Yeah, and they shoot like teasers and stuff.
Yeah.
And they make you think as if they made it because there's a trailer somewhere to be found, but nothing is out.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of, obviously, with like people pretending to be casting agents and things like that, you know, to attract the women and stuff, you know. And like a Harvey Weinstein type of thing, except he was legitimate, but he still used his position, I think, to...
For sure.
You know,
well,
he's not the only one.
And the thing is, it's not just the men either. There are women out there that use their position as abuse of power.
It's true.
Really?
So you just got to watch out for people because, I mean, we...
Yeah, be careful.
We just find out what their intentions are. Really, really look into them and take a look at them and see what they're all about, you know?
Because a lot of times they're lying to themselves, too, just to make themselves feel better. Like, they get caught up in their own web of lies of, like, what they're doing and...
They're living
things,
in that fake
reality,
and that's where it's like, okay, I need to step away from that because that doesn't seem safe.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wow. I know. Interesting town we're living in, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you guys find yourself often having to come to Hollywood or stuff, or is Michigan pretty self
More often than recently we have been, but...
Yeah, I think it was 5 times I was here last year. So,
really? Wow.
So kept me busy.
Think you'd ever move here?
No,
I don't think move, but I definitely like having this coming here for meetings and all that stuff. But I don't think living here. I enjoy the. I mean, I know that that's a kind of a shtick at this point, but the season stuff is actually cool.
Yeah,
it is cool.
It is nice to wake up to snow and have the kids go crazy and they want to run out and make snow angels. That's a lot of fun.
Right.
It is fun to see the
It's even too much to have a nice day every day. It gets boring after
a while. Well, you want to be able to appreciate it,
right?
So like with us, we're like in the wintertime, we do say, oh man, can't wait till summer. But then in the summer, it's like, oh, can't wait till winter.
I don't do that.
I do that. I look forward to fall.
The fall,
Fall's yeah. great. The sweater weather, I love it. You know,
that's what I love about winter here.
Yeah, I can dress in normal clothes. I remember mm-hmm. living in South Beach, Miami, and it's always a steam bath there. And,
oh, yeah.
And you put on a suit or something, try to be nice in Miami.
No.
2 hours later, just sweated through everything, and it's just gross.
It's the humidity.
It is the humidity. Yeah. It just makes you, it doesn't matter what you do. And then it's like you have to go from your place, hop into a car, and run into the next place so that you don't sweat it out outside. It's crazy.
I know. Don't drive with your jacket on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have foreign experience, I hear.
I do, yeah. yeah. I just moved here from New York, so I've lived on the East Coast my whole life, and that humidity is...
It is.
It gets rough. Yeah.
It swallows you whole.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just, like, swimming in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Miami, it's to the point that you can feel the... liquid in the air. I mean, it's crazy.
Really?
It's
yeah, so you wet. Can, for sure.
It's good for your hair and skin mm-hmm. and all that jazz.
I guess so. As Michigan long as you're not trying to do anything nice yeah. with your hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Michigan kind of gets like that, too. Sometimes in the summer, it can get pretty bad.
Yeah, Michigan, like thick, those lakes are, humid. Are little oceans. The Great yeah. Lakes are humongous, you know.
Right.
So we get some weather that you wouldn't expect that you'd have because of, you know, center of the country.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we're talking to Katie Wallen and Harley Wallen. The movie is Egremont's Gate. When is the film been released yet? Or
no, it comes out on February 11th.
Premieres okay. tomorrow in Beverly Hills. So that's going to be a
oh,
lot
nice,
of fun.
Oh, nice! Yeah, nice. And then, so you have a premiere.
It's exciting.
Do you guys go to festivals and stuff too sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, more so him. But yeah.
I mean, you submit your movies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We've done really well with the festival circuit, which is really cool to see, especially when you're beginning, you know, at this point, we're not really beginning anymore, but to build an audience mm-hmm. And get a following of people, I think is really cool because when you go to these festivals, there's so many people that find you,
right.
and then the word of mouth becomes mm-hmm. really powerful, and you do that enough places, you get a movement, and those grassroots things are always powerful.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is considered an independent film.
Yeah.
How do you guys distribute the film? Who is responsible for it? How do you do that?
So we generally end up, I submit, I have a really good connection network of film distributors, and I look for the right home for each film. So we've had Freestyle releasing, they released Moving Parts. We've had Vision release three of our films now.
Yeah.
We've had Green Apple release a couple of them, and now this time around called the Nationwide release, and then Acord International is doing the international release. We've had huge success already on Egremont's Gate, going to, you know, China, South Korea, Brazil. Like, it's sold, like, all over, which is really cool.
Really? That's nice, yeah. I know overseas they like these movies and stuff, right? I mean,
yeah.
all these American independent movies and stuff, action and
especially
and
when you get some of these cult iconic stars, like
right.
we have Jan Birch from The People Under the Stairs and Lauren Landon mm-hmm. was in Maniac Cop and stuff like that. So we have some of those old iconic actors, and a lot of people, they want to see them,
yeah.
And that gives you, it's the same thing with Eternal Code. You have Richard Tyson and Billy mm-hmm. Worth from, you know, Lost Boys and, you know, Kindergarten Cop and all that mm-hmm. jazz. You get some of them in your film. There's a really nice audience that wants to see them give good performances in good films.
Right.
So tend to do very well. Betrayed now sold to 22 countries, has been dubbed into French and
wow.
and Spanish, sold mm-hmm. to Mexico. So it's really cool to think that, you know, a little film, you know, made in Michigan is
right.
all over the world now. It's kind of
yeah,
wild.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And the cast you get from the area too?
Yeah. Yeah, majority mm-hmm. of the people that we cast are from Michigan, and we
local hire.
Mm-hmm. We have been so blessed. We have for being a small community,
yeah.
small film community, we have amazing talent. People
yeah,
that
yeah.
really belong here, you know.
Yeah.
But we're so happy that they're in Michigan because then we get them.
Yeah, no, it's true. What happened, we had the film incentives in Michigan, and they were rivaling, you know, Atlanta, and we had a ton of things happening.
Right.
And then you build this community, and then they stop the incentives.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, about half of them moved, and they moved Chicago and Atlanta and L.A., but the other half because of family and kids and this and that are stuck in Michigan. And for them, now they want quality work, not a whole lot of it, and we do it. So we get, you know, amazing talent in our films just because of that.
Right. Well, you're very fortunate, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very cool. So for those of you who want to check out the film, it's going to be in wide release after the 12th, you said?
The 11th.
The 11th.
Yeah, February 11th, it'll go on all VOD platforms. It was supposed to have been a limited theatrical on this, too, and I'm not sure if they're still doing the limited theatrical. So I've been saying all VOD. So whatever your video on demand you have on your cable or on your Amazon or whatnot, it'll be on all of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And that's that releasing company that's getting you all
Midnight
these placements?
Releasing, yes. They're it's really interesting because we got a tier 2 release, which is a full VOD. So that means that there's pretty much nothing out there that it won't be on. So it's pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Netflix too and things like that? Too?
No, Netflix is a streaming, so that's not a VOD. So it's a like a pay-per-view. So
right.
You have to buy it on Amazon, buy it on Xfinity or AT&T, whatever it may be.
Yeah. I see. Voodoo, okay. Okay.
Yeah, Voodoo. Yeah, all those. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, you guys have accomplished quite a bit.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What's in the future for you guys? Do you have another one?
Well,
really?
Yeah. So right now, I just got the email this morning that a Bennett song holiday is completed. That's the sequel to Bennett's Song, which is the family rom-com that we did a couple of years ago. It has done really, really well. And I think it's cool to see. It's a very diverse film. We have 7 deaf actors in the film, and
wow.
We've taken some, and we didn't go the safe route to cast a hearing actor to act as if they were deaf. We cast 7 deaf actors, and some of them are 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So people are telling me don't work with kids and don't do that. Well, we broke all those things.
That's great, though. But you need to keep breaking those things.
Yeah, I think. You know, it's one of them things that people don't understand. And if you've never been an outsider, you probably don't get it. But you walk into a place and you see no one that looks kind of like you, you don't feel at home. So
right.
A film should be, I mean, I understand too, you're going to make a timepiece of a specific time in life. You probably have to make it look and feel like it was. But in general, shouldn't it look like our world and be as diverse and inclusive and divisive at times as the real thing? So I think,
right.
You know, when you whitewash anything, I think, and not just whitewash, any kind of wash, let's make it look like our world and stop
right.
dividing ourselves up into these little portions. I think there we would all go a lot further if we just all jumped in the same
yeah.
mess together.
Well, that's
and
true.
Just
yeah.
decided to try to realize that we're on the same team ultimately.
Right.
See, the biggest thing is we have so much of the division everywhere else, like with politics. Everybody's fighting each other. Everybody's, you know, judging and so opinionated and less informed. But we need to do a better job at remembering that we're all here together, right?
Right.
Let's get through this together. Let's work together. Doesn't matter what color you are, who you are, how you, you know, whatever mental handicap you have, it's... We're here together.
Right.
Let's get through this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's really important to keep sharing stories like that so people mm-hmm. can be more aware, so people can
mm-hmm.
open your minds and, you know.
It's all about gaining perspective.
It's important. I think in film,
yes.
it's a big responsibility that we carry to
mm-hmm.
yeah.
to do things like this, for sure, in
mm-hmm.
any kind of entertainment
mm-hmm.
industry.
Yeah, I think it started by just showing perfection and ideal. It was the white picket fences, and now suddenly... We're widening this, and we're saying no. We got to show it all.
Yeah, I mean, authenticity is the new
yeah.
currency. They say.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
yeah. Even right now, it's you know what's become incredibly popular are these reenactment shows. That you know, if you look at American Horror Story, they actually did a reenactment season where they essentially shot it as if it was a reenactment, which is really cool. But yeah, so this is fun.
Yeah. Amazing. What's a film industry like in Sweden? Do you know?
Sweden is a very small, very cliquey community.
Right.
Between the films that we're in, me and Jan are both Swedish, and Jan comes from a very strong art presence in Sweden, and it's incredibly hard to get your film in.
Really?
It is a little bit of a small bubble. And unless you have a huge blockbuster that it makes it there for that reason, or it has to be an arts film that goes that route. And that's such a strong film community in Swedish that takes up a big piece of it too.
I see. So it's like a click where you can't really.
It is tricky to get in. I mean, that was a big part of me moving, because the show that I got on, I could just see that there's just nowhere to go. And the people that have the power have had the power forever.
Right.
And now that I come here and see it, it's kind of the same way here.
So
I think the only difference here is that you have more people that say, you know what? I'll invest you. I believe in you. We just had a guy, in Michigan, just take this wild chance on us to start doing a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
So we start shooting that next week.
Oh, nice!
So that's going to be a ton of fun. But this is the thing: you have enough people here, with the funds and the availability to say, you know what? That's a great idea. I believe in you. I mean, it's wild to think about that, but that exists here, and that's how you actually make things. You think about like Quentin Tarantino and his first $1 million movie, and when you learn how he connected and Harvey Keitel made it worthwhile and this and that, it's like, wow. You know, the network that they have, and half of it is it's like this old connections everywhere, and
right.
That's
Do you act in some of your movies too?
I act in all of them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I love. I mean, acting was my first love, so I definitely really enjoy playing characters in my films. And I have a really good team, so I don't have to have a piece of me, you know, stay behind to direct.
Right.
My AD is a film director, and my DP is a film director.
Amazing.
I love having that around me. It doesn't intimidate me at all. To me, I have three directors, set of eyes watching everything. To me, that's amazing.
That's very helpful.
And Katie, finally, we're running out of time, but what character do you play in the film, in the Egremont's Gate?
In Egremont's Gate, I play Cassidy, and she is the wife of the fella who's dad comes and
right
a demon
and she freaks out and everything
a little bit, yeah.
She's pretty tough though.
She's pretty tough.
Really?
She is pretty tough, yeah, but you do see she has some moments, you know, where she shows a little bit of weakness, but for the most part, like, she's
an overcomer.
She is an overcomer.
Mm-hmm. Wow, very cool. And what do you play in the film?
I play the mystic Zeb, the guy who comes to drive out the demon. And it's a lot of fun. I've had people watch the whole trailer and then look right me in the eye and say, "Are you in this movie?" And they completely missed me. I am bald. I have a blind eye and a giant scar on my face from a prior exorcism when I was younger. That we didn't do
a
good
cool
job.
It's a cool backstory
it's
prequel.
A very cool.
I love that.
It's funny that prequel has me so intrigued. I really want to make it now.
Really?
And it was actually all created because my character was supposed to have been played by Billy Worth from The Lost Boys, and he ended up getting an offer to do this TV show with Forrest Whitaker, and I'm like, go, don't feel bad, don't feel but go. And now I had to kind of reinvent this character. I was going to play a much smaller character, so now I'm like, uh-oh.
He had no idea what he was going to do with
I
this
didn't
character.
Know.
And then the decision, though, ended up, it's so
very
funny.
Very bold.
Yes.
Play a French-born mystic that partners up with this gypsy Cajun woman from New Orleans. It's so
awesome.
I mean, it really is. It's one of them that you can end up going to these Comic-Cons, mm-hmm. Horror-Cons, you know, to sign your life away, because there's such unique characters that if this thing takes off like it, I mean, I really think This has a very high ceiling. I've heard this a ton of times now. People call it a perfect date movie because it's the kind of movie that it's going to be scary enough that you're going to move closer, but not so scary that you're all like grossed out. So that's the kind of the thing that we have going for us.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on Egremont's Gate, everybody. Go check it out. Starting February 11th.
Yep.
And on VOD platforms and stuff. And so the premiere's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Where does that take place?
At the Lumiere in Beverly Hills, which is the first time for us. We've always done art at the Chinese Theater.
Right.
And the distributor says, no, I have this really good relationship. He's like, this is a bit of an artsy movie. We're going to do an arts theater. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So we're doing this, and it's the first time at... from the people I've talked to, they really like the theater, and it's a great spot. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, congratulations.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Katie and Harley Wallen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having
us. How can people find out more about the film, about you guys, social media, anything?
Yeah, our film production company is called Painted Creek Productions. It is like the main hub spot if you want to check it out, because if you want to find out any of the info on any of the movies, it's all there.
Yeah.
But we do have like special Instagram pages and Facebook pages for the films individually. But Painted Creek Productions is where you will find everything.
Yeah. Sounds good. If you want to contact them, check that out. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Jen, thank you
as
always.
Thanks, Sam.
We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.